Let's say it say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I bear fruit in every respect.
And I increase in the knowledge of God.
I am strengthened by his glorious might.
And I'm attaining to all steadfastness.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Declare like you believe it as the word of God is coming forth.
I have understanding.
I have quick understanding.
I have wisdom.
I discover the will of God.
Say it, I discover the will of God.
Say, my heart is corrected.
My mind is enlightened.
I am not, and for that reason,
I am not conformed to this world.
I am transformed because of the enlightenment of my mind.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start today. Let's continue what we have been discussing on how to bless your descendants, how to bless your offspring, how to bless your children. Remember, it's our school of prayer, and we are learning the proper way to do the praying that God expects us to do. Don't ever forget it. The Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And many things that God will want to do on this earth, he will not be able to do them except we pray effectively. That's the word, effectively, about them. Very important. And I will say last time, we've been talking about it for some days now, that when we come to preparing a brilliant future for our children, we are to be careful as children of God not to go about it the way of the world. What is the way of the world? Save up money for them. Keep your money in the bank. Invest their money in property. Buy shares. Do this. All right? Get them a very good education. Send them to an expensive school. Send them to a school abroad. All right? That's one way. Another way, people say, okay, when you're about to have the children, have them in a foreign country. Even if you can't afford it, sell your father's land. You understand? Take a loan from the bank just so that your wife can deliver in America so that you can see your children are American citizens. Why do you go through that? Remember, I said that the amount of effort you put into something shows the amount of faith that you have. Remember, as a child, as a Christian, there is nothing that you do that is innocent. All right? It's either a sign of faith or a sign of what? Unbelief. That's the way it is. Everything you do is either a sign of faith or a sign of unbelief. You can't say, let's just be sure. Once you start saying, let's just be sure, in matters like that, you're already putting your faith in something else rather than putting your faith in God. All right, so one of the ways people do that, okay, so let me go and have my children somewhere so I can give the child a brilliant future. There's nothing wrong with having your children anywhere. If you can travel to the moon to have your child, it's all well and good. Are you getting my point? Maybe your wife is an astronaut and then she went into labor while exploring Mars. It makes no difference. All right? Then you have a true alien of his child. There's no problem with that. Okay? The Lord is good. In the same manner, you can have your child in Australia, you can have him in Nigeria, you can have her in Ghana, you can have her in South Africa, in Botswana, in Rwanda, in Malawi, Syria alone, Ukraine, all right? North America, that's United States, Canada, Mexico, all right? Even in Brazil during the World Cup, there's no problem with that, really. No, I want to emphasize that. Please, I don't want people to think that I'm just criticizing some things. No, it is a faith that I'm dealing with. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm dealing with matters of what? Faith. Matters of faith. If you want your child to have a brilliant future, you must handle it spiritually. If you want your children to have a bright destiny, you must handle it spiritually. We are Christians, and because of our faith, all right, by that faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see did not come out of the things that are visible. What does that mean? It means that if my child, all right, my offspring, my children are going to have a brilliant destiny, it's not going to be because of what we can see, it's going to be because of what we cannot see. And we have already looked from the life of Isaac, that Isaac said to Jacob, to Esau concerning Jacob, he said, I have made him your master. I have made all his siblings, all right, all his relatives, I've made them his servants. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. How did he do that? He sat him down and he prophesied the blessing of God upon him. We said the blessing of God makes rich, all right, and does not add sorrow. The blessing of God is not just a blessing from God. It's a spiritual substance that is in the mouth of covenant parents. I said that before. It's not just a blessing from God. It's a spiritual substance, all right, that covenant parents carry, and they can impact into the lives of their children. And those are the things we have been looking at. We've already explained the fact that you should give your children prophetic names, and don't forget to continually sustain them. We stopped somewhere. I want to pick up from there. All right, let's read a few portions of the scriptures just to start that one out. First of all, Psalm 87. Now, I'm going to read that, first of all, from... I'm going to read my usual one. I'll read from King James, and then I'll read the Message Bible. And there's a reason, because it's a bit tricky to interpret it, but you'll be able to get the sense I'm bringing out of it. Psalm 87. First of all, let me start reading from New American Standard, then I'll read the King James. All right. His fountain is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. He said, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. In verse 4, he says, I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. Now, this is like talking about the prominent economies, the powerful countries at that time. He said, this one was born there. Verse 5, but of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High will establish her. He said, verse 6, the Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. That is, you make a special mark when he registers the inhabitants of the earth, and say, this fellow is a citizen, all right, of Zion. He said, then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you, that is, in Zion. Now, let me just start from the King James quickly. He said, let me just start from verse 4. I will mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. And of Zion shall be said, this and that were born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this one was born there. Now let me stop here and now read from the Message Bible. I wanted the Living Bible, but it's a Bible I hardly read, so I didn't have it anywhere. All right? Okay, so I have it on my computer at home, but I didn't come with it. So this is the closest I could find to what I was trying to get out of it. From the Message Bible, it said, he founded Zion on the holy mountain. And oh, how God loves his home. Loves it far better than all the homes of Jacob put together. God's hometown, oh, everyone there is talking about you. I named them off, those among whom I'm famous, Egypt and Babylon, also Philistia, even Tyre, along with Cush. Words getting around. They point them out. This one was born again here. So the words getting out on Zion. Men and women, right and left, get born again in her. Verse 6, God registers their names in his book. This one, and this one, born again, right here. Singers and dancers give credit to Zion. All my springs are in you. Let me explain this so that we can get it clear. Remember, we are believers in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking to unbelievers. I am not interested in getting into arguments on statistics. Statistics, you know, let me just drop this quickly, okay? Just quickly. So that you know that a lot of our opinions are influenced by what we hear in the news. If you look in the international stage right now, look in Europe, there's somebody that supports that European angle. Okay, you know Ukraine. There's a problem going on in Ukraine right now, right?
Yes.
If you are aware enough of what's going on, what happened? A plane was shot down, MH17, Malaysian Airlines. And who shot it down? Vladimir Putin. It's not Putin, but it's the rebels, all right, in Ukraine that everybody we accepted that they shut it down. But I thought to myself, you know, everybody was angry. What's wrong with this Putin man? I was about to get angry with him, and I said, wait, is it because you watch CNN? and BBC World? You know, that's the angle you are looking at it from. Do you understand? I'm not saying what happened was right or wrong. I'm just trying to bring an issue here. I had to restrain myself in my anger. That maybe that guy is a man of God. You get my point? Yes, maybe he's a man of God. And God planted him there to be a thorn in the flesh of the Europeans and the Americans. And after I thought about it, I had to relax. I'm not saying the shooting down of the plane was good. Actually, maybe it was an accident, all right? Somebody didn't know what he was doing. But, you see, I'm careful to judge with righteous judgment. If you stand before God today, I'm sure that man is more righteous than Barack Obama. I'm sure of that one. Yes. After all, Vladimir Putin still calls an abomination what God calls an abomination. And Barack Obama says God does not know what he's talking about. The Bible is outdated, and God should go and read some science. Yes, that's Barack Obama's perspective. Now, you get my point. All right? So, there's a reason I'm saying this. A lot of our thinking is actually formed by what we watch on TV. All right? So, that's why Al Jazeera was started. Al Jazeera was started by the Arabs just to counteract the dominance of the Western media. Hear our own side of the story. That's why they started it. Okay? Now, the Lord is good. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. When people want to make plans, okay, therefore, these are the things that form what we brag about. And as Christians, that's what I'm talking about. We should be careful that the media do not decide what we think about life. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Many places they paint for you that is a beautiful place to stay in may not be as fine as you think. Why am I saying this? Let me just explain this portion of the scriptures, okay? Then we'll see how it applies to us. What happened here was that what was the psalmist here saying? It was explaining something about human nature, and it's like that till today, and you find it, even Paul drew upon it at the time. There was a time they passed a sentence on Paul, and he reminded them that he's a Roman citizen. And the captain became afraid. You get my point? He suddenly became afraid. Sometimes you hear that an American citizen has been imprisoned in Korea, North Korea. So you expect that it's Mr. Adam Smith. No, it is Jin Chuan Chang. Are you getting my point? He's actually a Korean, but he's an American citizen. So it's an international scandal as far as Americans are concerned. And when you see the fellow's picture, you're surprised. Like, I thought he said American citizen, but this guy looks like a Korean now. Yes, he's a Korean, but he's also an American citizen. So they get up and they come to his aid, you know. If you have to go and fight to get him out, they will do that if it's necessary, okay? Because he's their citizen. So that's the way life is. So people generally brag on their citizenship. And that's the reason why human beings do what they do a lot of times. If you hear that a man is an American citizen and he's a Nigerian, you look at him, you know, with a bit of, unless you have my kind of spirit, in which I don't care, unless you are a heaven citizen, that is when I have special respect for you. Okay? But an average Nigerian will look at you like, oh boy, are you serious? How did you manage? Did you win Visa Lottery or Visa Lottery won you? Which one of the two? You know, and it's even more interesting when he tells that, oh, no, my, I was born there. Are you serious? That means one day you can be American president. Respect, instant respect. And that's what the Bible was saying here. He said, when I mention Philistia, I mention Egypt, I mention Tyre, along with Ethiopia, people brag on it and say, this one was born there. Are you getting the point? That's what I want you to understand. That's what he was talking about. People brag on these things. But that's not where we want to sit. It's the next thing he said is what's interesting. He said, of Zion it shall be said. Of Zion it shall be said. This one was born in her. What was he saying here? This is a prophetic word of God. That the time will come, and that is the time we are in right now, that what will make somebody proud, in reality, spiritually speaking now, what will make somebody a person to admire is the fact that the fellow can, you know, boast, beat his chest and say, I was born in Zion. And this Zion here is standing for the church of Christ. It's standing for the body of Christ on the earth. It stands for the church of God. Remember, I said at the beginning, I'm talking to Christians. By faith, we understand that things that are spiritual are real. We know that these things are not jokes. We're not saying them to make ourselves feel happy. We are saying them because they are real. Let me explain something to you. You know, there was something that Jesus said once. He looked at Peter and said that, if I wanted to be delivered, don't you think I would have asked the Father to send me 12 legions of angels? You understand? Now, what was he saying? Now, let me just apply it to what we are discussing today. That I'm a citizen of heaven. If I need to, I will call upon the resources of my homeland, and they will come and defend me. You are getting what I'm trying to explain here. That's what the matter is. That is what the matter is. That is, it is something to brag on. It is something to be proud of. Remember, we're talking about how to bless your descendants. Therefore, and let me not sit on this one too much. Let me quickly get it down to what we want to talk about. Therefore, if we indeed are people of understanding, if we indeed are believers in Christ Jesus, we should be more interested, do you understand my point, in establishing that our children were born in Zion than being born anywhere else in the world. It makes no difference whether those children naturalized, because there are two births we have to experience on this earth. There's a natural birth. That one you can be born, like I said at the beginning, in Nigeria, in Liberia, in Swaziland, in Lebanon. You understand? Anywhere. It makes no difference. But you have to be born somewhere, naturally speaking. But because we are of faith, we understand that that is inferior to the spiritual birth that you will experience. I'm talking about to bless my children. What is more important, therefore, is that I do everything in my power to ensure that one day I can point to all my children and say, this one was born in Zion. I ended last time by explaining the principle. Well, point out something, the mistake people make. People, because they are earthly minded, they mind the things on the earth. They will invest money. I've seen them do it. Invest money, energy, stress, everything. Why? The man is working in Nigeria. They are not planning to leave. But he said, let my children go and live in Canada. That's the rainy one. Please, if you hear me using Canada, it's the rainy one. You know, Nigerians always have the one that's raining. When I was much younger then, UK was the main thing. Then later on, United States joined. You understand? And then the most recent I know is Canada. And what are people looking for? They are looking for an established structure, an established society. Remember I said by telling this particular story, that because that is trying to bring out a principle, we watch TV, or you travel a few times, and you saw the roads are good. You were there for some time, light didn't go off. And generally we have this, listen, the men who control the news, they tell you the good thing. In fact, they say things the way they perceive it. If you watch Christian news, as an example, and they want to analyze Europe and maybe what a lot of the so-called first world countries now, Christian TV often, they focus on godlessness and they make you fear. Just that you can download to your device, Charisma News. Every time they rule against the conservative view of marriage is there. They will tell you where America is going to. You understand my point? There are people who, I don't know whether it's true or false, but I've heard reports, who are already leaving the United States to go to somewhere in South America because they believe that the strong persecution of the church is going to come. The story where I read it, we're analyzing the second prophecy. If you've read the book, The Happiest People on Earth, then Moshakarian talked about the boy prophet, all right, who wrote a prophecy that brought them to the United States, all right, and there was another one he wrote that was sealed. And people have been trying to find out what's inside that one, and they were not supposed to open it. If I didn't know whether it's been open till now, but nobody's supposed to open that prophecy until the time that they are told to open it. Some have thought, I don't know whether it's accurate, that what is inside that prophecy is that the great persecution of that country against Christians is coming in that country, because that was what took them out of Armenia. And that God gave them another set of directions where their descendants should go. Whether they know it or not, I don't know, but some people have thought that they are supposed to go to somewhere in South America. And don't forget, when they came to the United States, it was not as prosperous as it is today. It wasn't. But they came there by prophecy. Now, I'm not going to bring out an issue here. So, if you have been minding, if you don't mind spiritual things, if you just watch, just buy Forbes, Newsweek, Time Magazine, you watch the common things going around, if you mind the things of this earth, based on that, there are countries that are more beautiful than others. But I'm emphasizing that we are Christians, we think differently. We recognize that nothing temporal is permanent. That's why it's called temporal, but when I use that word temporal, actually, I was thinking of physical. Anything you see that's physical is not permanent. Things can change. In one generation, you won't recognize a country anymore. Because of your understanding, therefore, all right, as spiritual people, you are concerned about your descendants. So you want to establish for them a citizenship that is sure. Don't let what you see physically deceive you. God has his people everywhere. And listen, anybody can be destroyed anywhere if God is not with the person. That's a matter of fact. So if you are concerned about how will my children be established, you are a child of God, ensure that they are born in Zion. I was saying this, I said it before, still part of what I'm going to explain now. When people look only at natural things, they do not make allowances, you understand my point, for ensuring that their children have a strong spiritual foundation. Like I said, and I keep on emphasizing so that people will not misunderstand me. There are good people everywhere. There are good Nigerians who live in Canada. There are good Nigerians who live in the United States. There are good Nigerians who live in Nigeria. You understand my point? There are good Ghanaians in Ghana. There are good Ghanaians in Nigeria. There are good Ghanaians in Australia. There are blessed people everywhere. But I'm emphasizing that it is not the place that makes the person blessed. It is a blessing of God that resides inside the person. So you should be more concerned concerning your children that the blessing of God resides inside them. That is what I'm emphasizing. How do I bless my descendants? These are the things I do for them as a Christian to ensure that my descendants are secure. I do not put my energy in trying to earn him or her a Brazilian passport. Because I hear it's one of the, you know, maybe one of the BRICS countries. Brazil, Russia, which is the other one? Which is I there? Huh?
China.
The I?
India,
okay, yes. China and South Africa. No. I recognize that they may be happening now. But by the time that boy is ready to take on the world, they may not be there anymore. But I'm more careful, all right, to ensure that the blessing that makes rich is with him. So when I'm making my plans as a Christian, what should I do? That's why I'm going to explain all of these things. So you want to, people will do it. You want to sit down here, make money, relocate your children far away, and you are turning your wife to a single mother. These are things people are praying against. You have teenage children. You want to be visiting them 3 times a year to tell them you leave your wife to be the one to instruct them in a society where they can call police for her. And what do you think you are doing? You are establishing them a brilliant future. The Lord is good. Let me establish it again before I go into detail about this teaching. I need to emphasize it. Listen to this. God can bless anybody anywhere. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let me say it again. God can bless anybody anywhere.
Amen.
If God is with your children, anywhere they are, they will be above, they will not be beneath.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
These are, because these are prophetic words. Listen, Your children will be in the midst of Americans, Europeans, of any country there. And they will be above and they will not be beneath.
Amen.
It will happen that people from all over the world will be asking them to come and help them in their own area of endeavor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God does these things regularly. It's not a new thing. There's no point sitting out here telling stories. This is what he does all the time. Where you were born naturally, it's not an advantage as far as God is concerned. What matters to him is, were you born again into Zion? That is a label that's important. When God wants to manifest his blessing in the life, in the lives of your children. Therefore, what do you need to do as a parent? Whatever you have to do, ensure that you are leading them in that direction. When they are young, they are under your own influence. Sometimes when I hear parents say that, I've heard people say that somebody, a child gave his life to Christ when he was five. I'm one person that I don't believe it. I'm sorry. That's why even Catholics, they do confirmation. They baptize you when you are an infant. But they know that this infancy is your father they baptize, not you. In fact, that's why they gave you a godfather, Abby.
Yeah.
Is that what they call the person?
Yes.
The guy who's standing there, when they ask, do you renounce Satan? He says yes on your behalf. You don't even know who Satan is. Your whole life is between sucking and sleeping. The worst evil you can do is bite your mother. God cannot send you to hellfire for anything. For what? For biting. He will not. I want to tell them that a child gave his life to Christ at the age of five. Listen, I can make all my children give their lives to Christ at any age. It's simple. All of you line up. Say after me. If I don't have to use the king, I'll just explain to you, Jesus died for your sins. Amen. Do you want to live for Christ? They say yes. All right, say after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for dying for my daddy's sins. He's the one that's committing. He's the one that's committing now. What can a four-year-old do? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you want to do that for me, go and convert a Muslim child at 4 years. I'll believe you. As long as your own children, my brother, forget that invest. All right? No, in fact, I don't want to go into it. It's in the scriptures. It's your life they are living now. It's your life they are living while they are small. But that's exactly the time you start leading them. That was why God, just to confirm what I'm saying, I've been joking about some things, but that's why God was, when he was punishing people in the wilderness, he put a cutoff point, 20. You know why he didn't punish those who were below 20? He said it's not them. They're just echoing what their parents are saying. So just leave them. But once they cross a particular age, he said, I don't care the amount of influence that you want to blame. I gave you the choice, the chance to make your own choice. That's why I wrote the book, Choice is Key to Destiny. In the early parts of your life, what you are is a reflection of the influences around you. But no matter who you are, God will at a point in time give you the chance in life to make your own choices. You make your own decisions. Those looking from outside may still think it's your parents, but it is because you have chosen to obey your parents. You chose their godly influence. Are you getting my point? Now, this is what I'm going to emphasize, the role of the parents. At that, in the early stages, that's why you start training the child in the way that he should go. And it is not, listen, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are always mighty through God. The rod is good, but the rod does not bring salvation. It only drives out foolishness. You must understand it. Foolishness is bound. The rod can drive it far away. It does not bring in wisdom. It removes foolishness and leaves a vacuum. Wisdom is not a default setting. It's not if you remove foolishness, wisdom will be there. No. You remove foolishness, the place is empty. By instructions, you now start pouring in wisdom. That's how it is. By instructions, you start pouring in wisdom. But my emphasis is that you also have to do that with prayer. And constant prophesying. Every evil that is in the society, you curse them in the lives of your children. you prophesy specifically against sagging. When you see children sagging, say, in the name of Jesus, my children will not sag their trousers. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
It's a sign of modern day foolishness. Who wants to look at your boxers? Now, I just said that one to explain the point. Every evil in the society, you prophesy against it. Every evil in the society, you lay and, in fact, let me tell you something, you do it in front of them so they know what you are prophesying against. That is why, listen, I like what our brother said. He said, you go home to family, you don't visit them. Can't say I see my family 4 times a year. And you're their father. It's not good. What did I say? It's a bad thing. And a bad thing is a bad thing. What am I emphasizing? The fact that we set... Look, we're talking about how to bless our children. How to pray for our descendants. It's not just about getting a prayer sheet and reading things out. That's why I'm doing all of this in this school of prayer to so that each person understands what it is that they are doing. What you do is to set your children, explain the gospel to them, not just by mouth now, but also by prayer. I said something last time, we should, well, for time's sake, I won't bother reading, but this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse, beginning from around verses 16, 17, all right, that we pray a lot. Well, let's just read it. Just, you can get it. Paul started talking from verse 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, this is a prayer now, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let me just stop here, all right, because of time. Now, this is one prayer that we were taught, one of the earliest lessons I learned when I started studying the scriptures, all right, those is when we were on campus. I'm bringing out the issue here that we're taught to pray for ourselves so that we will understand the word of God. And I'm applying it this time around. It's one prayer you must also pray for your children. That's one thing you must bear in mind. You pray them also for your children. How do I pray for my children? I pray that they will understand the gospel, not just follow daddy to church. I pray that they will understand the truth of this gospel, not just follow mommy in prayer meeting. I will sit down with the Lord and ask, dear Father, these children that you have given me, you know, Jesus said something, that of all the people you gave me, I didn't lose anyone apart from Judas, the son of perdition. That is, you knew he was a bad boy. It was not my responsibility. Just kept him there for the usefulness thereof. He said, I've lost none. That is, it is possible also for parents to be like Jesus Christ and not lose any of their children if they do it right. It is possible for parents not to lose any of their children. It is possible. A lot of people assume, listen, Christianity is one religion that's actually not hereditary. You can't inherit Christianity. You can't. You can inherit church going. one day I met him, in fact, it's my landlord's current, the house I live in, he owns the house, all right? One day I was talking with him. That's after I started living in his house. We saw and we discussed some things. I've told the story here before. One of the things, he asked me the church I was going, I told him. And he said, what is wrong with you people? What has been wrong with you people? That he has been to our church that we don't preach born again. Not here. That's not my point. He said, what is wrong with you people? That has gone around Enugu, gone to many churches. He mentioned only one church. I remember his second one. That's the only place where he hears them emphasize that people need to be born again. Why did I tell the story? He said that, that he was born. His father was a bishop, an Anglican bishop. So he said that it was while he was in his 50s that he became a Christian. Yet his father was an Anglican bishop. He said he did not know too. That's what he said. That was when his daughter went to university. His daughter came back home one day with her friend. And they sat him down and explained to him that he was not born again. And he needed to be born again. And he was 50-something. So you can go to church. It does not make you a Christian. Like they say, just like being in a cage does not make you a chicken. You can be in a garage, doesn't make you a car. If you decide to sleep in your bathtub, doesn't make you fish. You are still a human being. Going to church does not make you a Christian. You become a Christian by a conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. That's how it is. You become a Christian. The man was talking to me that day. He said he did not know. So he was saying that, look, you, because he found out that I was a preacher, and we were talking, he said, look, you young, you should emphasize the fact that people need to consciously give their lives to Christ. He said, people were talking about him in their churches then. That, can you imagine, this man now says he's just getting born again, and they were laughing at him. He said, they did not understand. He said, he too did not understand until that point. So we were saying that, how can I say he just give his life to Christ? After all, his father was a bishop. He said he never did. He was 50-something years of age when his daughter came from school one day with her friend, and two of them sat him down and began to explain the scriptures to him. And suddenly he realized that this Jesus, I do not know him personally. That's why as parents, we should not assume. A lot of preachers, that's what happened. They are children. You just assume that your child will turn out to be a good Christian. So there's no emphasis in the life of the child. You just assume that once all of us go to church, in fact, sometimes it's pure immunization. What do you call immunization? I heard that one from R.W. Schambach. He said many people have been immunized against the gospel. Like, give them small, they develop a resistance against the real thing. Many times, church going as a habit is pure immunization. You want your children to do well in life? What God is counting, this one was born in Zion. Therefore, you have to bear this in mind when you are relating with them. The fact that they grew up in a Christian home does not mean they will automatically turn out to be born in Zion. So it becomes a prayer point for each one of them. It becomes a prophetic matter over the head of each child. Not your father bless us in this home, give us food. That's not the issue. One day you get up on each one of them. In fact, good enough, children are normally not many. Even if you like born like one man in my place, they are 200. Yes. Was the traditional ruler. Yeah, 200. No, I'm not kidding. He had not 200, actually. That's a joke. He had over 200. That's the correct thing. You thought I was going to revise it downward. The man, no, I'm serious. Now, so even if you had 200 children, I'm going to have an issue here. That's even if you take one day, you'll be through with them in a year. But most of the time, we don't have that many. We don't have that many. I'm going to have an issue here. You can even take them one by one and plead before the Lord concerning their salvation as they grow up. God knows the age. You can't determine it. Children will obey you. You can make an area boy repeat after you. Yes, it's true. So that's why this matter, you can't, look, it's only God who can beg. And my teaching this evening is that you must do that begging. In quote, you must do that supplication. You must kneel down and take them one by one. In fact, it is even best of all to remember it before you get married, before you have children. Say, God, all the Judases, none of them in my house. Anyone you want to use to betray Jesus, send him to Shekau and people like that. That don't send any armed robber into my house. No criminal, no jaguda. Every child that you never conceive or you never even marry, you're already saying to God, see, let's just arrange this thing. Now, prayer, they pray. I know you need some Judases on this earth. Yes, I'm just saying that I'm not here. No, it's a simple, and God will honor it, believe me. Believe me, trust me, trust me. He will honor that. You start with that so that you know anyone who is coming is a potential child of light. Say, God, now I heard. This is what we're not going to do. This one, in the name of Jesus Christ, every negative influence. Those are the things you fight. Not the witches that don't want the child to succeed. Any witch that will not let it, that won't want the child to succeed, do your worst. That's a better prayer point. Not this prayer about witches. That you are afraid of them. That is your problem. Anyone who's against me, some are so scatter, die. That you they fear. You they fear. Have you ever come to your house and say, every cockroach crossing in front of my gate, die? Do you pray that kind of prayer? You are afraid. I'm not vexed. I don't begin vexed. Let me get back to my message. Anyway, we'll talk about it on Saturday. You know, I was saying something. Okay, those who I've just stayed with. Olainga, where I went to preach during, over the weekend. At the point I was preaching, I just realized something. Because the Holy Spirit is the way the Holy Spirit works. I said to them, I said, since I came here, I've not said anything about which. I said, I'm sure it's not a problem here. The pastor said, mm-mm. Because they are word people. You didn't hear them say anything. Any enemy, winch, winzand. No. You've been fighting witches because of your children. I better forget that one. The witches, they respect too. Are you getting my point? They respect. They know boundary. They know boundary. Did you hear what I said? They know boundary. What did I say? No, go and read your book of Job. God said, senior witch, you don't go that side. He said, no, sir. He knows Satan now. That is senior witch. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, that side. We looked at him with telescope. And we saw that you put an edge around him. So we left the matter alone. No, really. They understand boundaries. Are you getting my point? Let's just leave that one there. Don't scare your children. You know, I want to digress. And I need to digress. I need to. Stop scaring children with informing them about things that are not real. There are things in my house that's forbidden. If you want a child to behave, there are two ways you do it. You talk to the child, one. Number two, you apply divine therapy. That's the road, all right? But one thing we never have, it has never happened. My oldest Bobo is over 11 now, all right? He has never heard it said, if you go there, that's by any of the parents, Ojuju will catch you. You know those kind of things we say? Don't go near that place, oh. Go behind the television, Ojuju will bite you there. If you say it in my house, I call you to order immediately. I teach my children not to be afraid of the dark. That is, there is not, look, any fear they have in quote, of the dark, it's just the normal, you know, children, they are alone. So you're like, okay, no, calm down. But as they are growing older, you can stay in the dark. It doesn't hurt. And that's what you keep reinforcing. When you start praying in front of children, all the witches that want to kill us, Holy Ghost, fire. They grow around, you know, they become suspicious. Somebody smile, say, you smile like a witch. Smile like a witch. No, one of my friends told me something was, no, in fact, his sister-in-law came, you know, came to their place to come and deliver, all right? Pregnant woman went to stay with her sisters to deliver. So the elder sister now came to pick her. She was staying with my friend. Well, my friend's wife. This is his younger sister. So she was staying with my friend and his wife. So one day the elder sister came to carry her from the house that they were going to church to pray. She's pregnant now. It's good to pray. And it's very good to pray if you are pregnant and you want to deliver. And the prayer is just one verse of scripture. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9. You don't need to say anything more than that. That prayer is good. Write it down. Give it to every pregnant person you know. Isaiah 66 verse 9. Husband, look at that big stomach and read it over it. That's the word of God to use to pray over pregnancy. You don't need anything more than that. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9. It's a very good and potent drug. It's divine prescription. It's a surgical blade. It's everything put together. Have you seen it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to my message. I just wanted to drop that one. So that anybody hearing this, we use the right, this is the real medicine for handling pregnancy. That scripture can rearrange contracted pelvis. That scripture can ignite labor. That scripture is good. Amen?
Amen.
It's very potent. Use it. Use it. Prescribe it. More than use it, prescribe it. Anyway, so back to my gist. So the young woman, my friend said that they took the young woman to go and pray. Now listen to the gist here. You see, when they go to the pastor began to cast and bind and counsel and erase what? Every person who said that this pregnancy will not succeed. Every uncle, now listen though, every uncle that have given that gave her something to eat, every auntie that rose up at night to prophesy, to cast a spell against the pregnancy, are you getting my point? Every witch that has offered sacrifices at junctions. Now, I'm adding words now, you understand? Because I was not there, dead, so I only know the general story. By reason of experience, I want to tell you everything. All the lies they normally add to it. Every sacrifice that has been offered, injunctions. Everyone cast over water, we regather it and remove it from water. Every pregnancy, every sacrifice at the junction, we scatter them. This was one my friend talked about. The one that upset him was the one about uncles and aunties. Every uncle, everything they gave her to eat. He said, Banky, he said, is this liberty or bondage? That was his question. He said, when this girl arrived in this house, she was not afraid of any auntie or any uncle. He said, after prayer meeting, every auntie, every uncle is now a suspect. Before the prayer meeting, she had an open heart towards every uncle and every auntie. After prayer meeting, suddenly, suspicion. Okay, please have a drink. The prayer, start praying. Everything they gave her to drink. That says, so now say, no, I'm not thirsty. Eat something, I'm not hungry. But you are trembling. Yeah, no, we are fasting. Fear. What did I call it?
Fear.
Jesus died to deliver us from fear. I digress into that, but it's a very important thing for people to learn. Where did I digress? I was explaining about children. Stop praying nonsense prayer in their presence. If you want to be confused, please go about your confusion by yourself alone. When you want to fight witches, fight it alone. As for your children, the only prayer you need to pray for them are things that are real, which is what we are trying to teach here. Pray for them against the spirit of this age. The spirit that makes them want to compare themselves with other people. There's one thing, in fact, me and my wife would disagree on that thing once in a while. My son came second in class. So the grandfather saw it, said, that was a very good result. Next time, you are going to come first. He said, yes, grandpa. I said, okay. So after the letter, I called him. I said, look, come. First means has no meaning. What did I say? I said, being first has no meaning. I said, what is the lesson? He said, I will always do my best. I said, good. Always do your best. You are not competing with anybody. Inugo? No, that's my wife knows. I always say never. I tell my children, I don't care whether you are first, second, or third. I don't care. I call them, they said, in fact, that I remember very well. Of course, his grandfather was very proud of him. He came second. You understand? And so, yeah, that's very, but next time you are going to come first. I smiled. Hey, yes. After that, I dragged him to the side. I said, you know our deal now. He already knew. No, I told him. I said, first, second has no meaning. No. You understand? He said, he does. I said, what is the law? He said, I always do my best. Good. I said, always do your best. Who are you competing with? This life, you don't compete with anybody. I told him straight. And I tell my children, my wife was talking to my one of the smallest boy the other day. I said, okay. She just dropped it. Said, okay, next time you're going to come first. He also came second this time around. I just said, hey, victory. There's nothing like that. Don't answer your mom. I said, don't answer your mom. In her presence, then and then, I dropped it. I said, victory. You're not competing with anybody. You will always do your best. And more importantly, I didn't tell them this, but I'm just adding it now. You always improve over your previous performance. Always improve over your previous performance. As for who is second and who is third, none of your business. If all of you are failing, somebody will still be first. Yes, if all of you are not going anywhere, somebody will still be first. If you use it like that. But if everybody is succeeding, if you want to rate it, somebody will still be at the back, physically speaking. Since we are not competing, it doesn't matter. I run my own race. No, these are the kind of things, no. When you are playing with children, look, you have to care with the kind of words you choose. So, I want to know that you pray against the spirit of this age that drag children into things that make them want to impress other people. Many of the girls you see on the road dressing as if their head is not correct. It's not their fault. Honestly, many of the girls who are outside having sex, they think everybody is doing it, and if I don't do it, I'm a Jew girl. Is anything like Jew girl? I know there's Jew man. That's what they think. In fact, I saw one poster the other day. It was a big game advert. They started running those adverts in town, trying to tell young girls, don't mind though, your friend is lying to you, she's not doing it. Because that's a fact. Those are things you pray against your children, not witch. Which one? You think you don't unless you're a witch yourself. No witch can eat your child. And I keep on saying, your neighbor thinks you're a witch too. This one that you're pointing to your neighbor, that our neighbors are witches, they're also pointing at you, thinking you are witches. These are the things you pray against in the lives of your children. This competing with other people, trying to be like other people. Because of time, I can't go into the other part of it. Because one of the reasons why they say that ministers lose their children, this is one reason, they don't realize that those children are also important. They don't realize that they too need the gospel. That is one. Secondly, there's a lot of duplicity. The people know what you are really like at home. We'll talk about that one later. Because there's something I emphasize, that the blessing of God is a spiritual substance in the mouth of covenant parents. There's a reason why I chose those words. Because, you know, there are a lot of parents who think that, you know, this one is very funny. You see, useless men want to marry godly wives, so that they can have good families. So you even know something good is happening. Why don't you just try and create it yourself? You know, you want to. You see a real jaguda, womanizer of a man, carrying wife and children, go hide them somewhere, so that they will not be influenced by the corruption that's in the world, which they are also participating in. Let me quickly drop this on, so that you can tell them, this substance is spiritual. I will talk about that next time. I'm watching my time. The fact is, your lifestyle, your behavior, your faith, your works of righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about just trying to give to God so as to pay him off. Your true works of righteousness coming. Okay, I find a better word. Your walk. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's a better word. Your faith and your walk of righteousness is pouring a spiritual substance into your children. That one is a matter of fact. If you like, hide them in Alaska. If you, a man, if you are a sexually immoral man, listen to me, your girls are going to be promiscuous. They don't have to know you. You can keep them in Alaska while you are doing your rukuruku in Nigeria. Unless their mothers do something strong. You know? If the mothers do something strong, you understand my point? That's it. You just live like normally. There is all the evil. You know, that's why. Sometimes you go into a campus, you see the boy will join cult. When you see his father, you mean your father is this influential? The boy is in cult. You know why? The murderous spirit will teach his father is doing politics. All the urukuruku they are doing in office, how they are backstabbing each other, collecting bribe, twisting justice, he's waiting. The thief gets up and he says, "Boy, hey, oh boy, now your father is my friend." He enters. The boy wake up one morning, he's possessed. A lot of people don't understand it. This is what, look, because of time, I'm not going to read that scripture now, all right? Maybe we'll read it next time. You find that a lot of the bad behaviors in children, it's not as if they learn it directly from their father. It is, you know, if your father is smoking, you may want to smoke. That's not what I'm talking about. That one is just like, someone saying an example. But I'm talking about somebody buying a spiritual substance and pouring it over his children. That thing is not a joke, it's real. If you like, go and hide the children in Alaska. The spirit knows where they are. Anytime you call them, it jumps through the network. It's okay, I won't call them. No problem. You wire them money. It will just sit on top of the money. Boom. As the boy collects that money, the spirit says, "This is cocaine money." He said, "Look, your father is in Nigeria. You're in America or whatever." He said, "But let me just tell you, this cocaine, this money is cocaine money. What happened? Your father stole it in Nigeria. And it's wiring it to you here. So you know what you're going to do?" He said, "What? You are going to smoke with this thing." The boy won't know. You're collecting money, he's feeling very happy. One guy will just say, "Oh boy, have you tried this?" So what's that? No, it's legal. This is America. I mean, it's legal now. It's called it medicating. Just medicate. It's not smoking anymore. It's called medicating. Oh, you don't know. America is a very funny country. Smoking of Indian hemp is legal in a lot of their states. But you can't say you are smoking. You say you are medicating. Because it says medical marijuana. You understand? So you go and buy medicine. You sit down and take your drug. You say, "Well, how far?" "Now my shoulder, they pay me. May I take my ampicillin?" You get the drug wee. And look, this is how it goes. It starts with medicating. After medicating, somebody will tell him one day, "See, that one is not hard enough. You want to do something, it gives me a stronger medication." After 5 days, the boy's head don't crack. And the father can't understand. "I've given him everything. What is he looking for?" "You gave him everything. You are right. You gave him all the evil spirits." The boy collects evil spirit. Listen, you cannot store up enough money inside the bank to wipe out an evil spirit you have donated into their lives. You can't. But thank God I'm preaching to Christians who are not into such things. We are just using these words to encourage the heart of righteousness. For you to know that what you are doing is not only for yourself, it's blessing your descendants. Every good work you do that's born out of faith is a blessing to your offspring. They don't have to be physically present. Every time you kneel down and pray in true worship to God, you are blessing your descendants. Every time you declare the word of God from the sincerity of faith, you are blessing your descendants. Hypocrisy doesn't bless them. It makes things terrible for them. People go to church and wave dirty hands to God, thinking that once we drop offering, God will forget. Like I said, all those acts of iniquity, they empower the devil. The devil will chase those children down and manifest in their lives. You want it to be well with them, you ensure that righteousness is with you. You cannot, in fact, I've seen many parents do it. You know, I just remember many like this. The man who won't go to church all his life. And when the children are of age, not carry them to church, they should start going to church. Some of them go and drop the children in church and then they go to the bar. The spirit of barren, is there a word like that? The barren spirit is to those children. Unless one of the parents, because that's one thing you have to understand, because there's a very strong sanctifying influence. All right? If one of the parents is in order, the influence is very, very strong. One of my friends the other day, one of my classmates, he told me that he doesn't believe in God. By the time he finished talking, I was unimpressed because all his talk was crappy talk, nonsense talk. But we did not have enough time to do a lot of intellectual, you know, exchange. He was dropping me off. So I asked him a simple question. "So why do you carry your children to church?" He said, "You know, people like to deceive themselves." Let me tell you something. Not believing in God has so many consequences. Even those who don't believe in God are afraid. No, I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias. Rabbi Zacharias was quoting Ferdinand Nietzsche. That now that God is dead, that they should expect the kind of carnage in human population that they have not seen over the next few decades. And he was right. Prophetically, the guy was accurate. They killed God before the Second World War. Since that time, you know what I mean by killing God. The man said it himself. The man who said God is dead. The man said, now let us watch out for the effect of the death of God. That human beings are going to be mean to themselves. They are going to destroy this civilization. We just finish ourselves. So anyway, back to my, I'm saying too many things. So my friend said, so I asked him, I said, so why do you take your children to church? He said that he wants them to have the opportunity he had to make up their mind. It's a lie. You know, it's a lie. If we're sure God is dead, why do you want the children to be confused? You don't believe it. That's why you carry them there. And you know these are young children. Say, if I release these children into this earth, believing that God, there's no God, I can't control them. Because if your son says there's no God, he comes to daddy, there's no God. He'll give you one on the face. No, the boy knows. He knows. No, think about it. If you can persuade your son there's no God, you're a dead man. Ah, no, you're a dead man. You will enter your house and they'll turn your house to something you don't believe. And you come, what are you doing here? Say, daddy, there's no God. And you go shout, there is God. No. Now you go shout. Nobody will need to tell you. You'll be the one to change your mind. Sharp, sharp. Listen, these are the things we are supposed to give our children, the knowledge of the true God. A life of righteousness, born out of faith in Christ Jesus. He pours a good spirit into them. The main thing I've said today is to ensure that they are born in Zion. We live before them a clean life as an example, but more importantly, we also recognize they need to also understand the gospel. For that reason, we pray for them one by one by name. Oh, sit down there. Many people have groaned and interceded for Zamfara State that they might believe the gospel. They think their children don't need that groaning. Your children need it also. That is what they need to succeed in this life. Because one day God is going to mark it. This one was born in her. This one was born in Zion. This one was born in Zion. And that is the thing that will set them securely. Listen, why don't we learn from history itself? We know that most successful men on this earth were not born by successful parents. We know it. So why don't we ask ourselves, why is this success not just hereditary? Why are we trying to say that, listen, every American is a success, which we know is a lie? They are illiterate there. Why do you think it will be different for your own child? That's what we're talking about. The only reason is if you tackle it spiritually and you will realize, as a matter of fact, when the time comes, it will be totally irrelevant. Just to talk in a natural plane, not just natural now. We're not saying that's all there is to life. But if I mention the name Dangote now, you know there are people, anywhere they are going in the world. In fact, Bishop Oyedepo said something once. I'd like to tell this story because let you know that in life, if God bless you and you are important, all this on God and born you somewhere, it doesn't make any difference. So one day was invited to come and preach in one country. So he needed a visa. You know, things have changed. I told this story more than like 15 years ago. So he gave his men passport, go to their embassy and go and collect visa for me. They got there. Of course, I don't know which country, didn't say. This one said, where is the owner of the passport? They said, he's in the office. He said, go and call him, that he has to come here. They said, lie. He will not come here. So, of course, they went back and said, sir, they didn't give us the visa that they needed your physical presence. So he said, I'm not going anywhere. Give me my passport. Dropped it in his drawer. So the man invited him, called him one day and said, Alpha. He said, well, they didn't give us visa. What happened? They said, I have to come to the embassy and I'm not going to go anywhere. They said, okay, we're very sorry. They made their phone calls, made their phone calls, made their phone calls.
They called the emperor and said, please come and collect it. The man collected it. I'm telling you. He said one day he had to travel. It was urgent. The country was going to, either I didn't have the visa had expired. So he went to the airport all the same day. I'm going. Where's your visa? Sorry, I'm in a hurry. I don't have right. I have to catch this flight. So the people made him sign an undertaking that if, you know, if they had to deport him and everything, he would be out. No, there was a long story about it. He said, no problem. They signed. He signed. When they got there, he landed. To enter now, with Hogan not gave visa. Okay, you wait on this side. He waited. While they went and arranged, stamped the visa and gave it to him so you could enter. In your life, may you be important too. In Jesus' name, you will be important.
Amen.
I'm talking about your children. In Jesus' name, your children will be important.
Amen.
Imagine Aliko Dangote wants to go somewhere. Do you think he'll kill at the embassy? Think about it. Even American embassy, he will not kill there. Even American, they don't want him to kill. Why? Please, sir, we are very sorry, sir. Richest man in Africa, you cannot kill at the embassy. They don't want him to kill. They don't want him to kill. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, may you be important.
Amen.
That's why, you know, I used to tell my wife something. They said, I said, listen, if I show up today now and I wear pink and green, you will laugh for 1 minute. After 1 week, a few of you go and buy pink and green. After 1 year, na fashion. What is that one called? It's called anointing. No, there's one they call, is it pinging? You women call it. And this one will be anointing. So anytime you see a man wearing pink and green, he's on fire for the Lord. No. Early in life, when we're young, those days, you know, you see that if you are wearing native, you don't wear socks, you know? I don't know. Was it like that here? In the West, it was like that. So when you wear native, you wear shoes, no socks. It's like, wow. And one day I grew up and became a man. Now I wear my shoe. Now I wear socks. On native. He said, no, you're not supposed to wear socks. I said, Matthew chapter what, verse what? That's my typical response. Who says so? When a mokachi punctured his ear as a man, why didn't you go and talk to him? Why is everybody copying David Beckham to puncturing ear all over the place? I said, wearing socks is to make my shoe comfortable. And since I'm an important man, the rest of you should go and copy me. I am not copying anybody. That was how God liberated me from not wearing socks on native. So now I wear my socks anytime I like. If I wear it on knicker, we thank the Lord. I wear it in sandals. The Lord is good. Maybe we'll talk about this another time. Not tonight. Not part of this message. One of the things I want to tell Christian, when it comes to this fashion world, you understand? Instead of women going to copy, look. Just tell Beyonce, I'm more important than you. So whatever I wear is going to be the fashion. That's where we're confident. And make sure that Holy Spirit is inside you. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not joking. Let's not go there. We'll talk about it one of those days. Because why people copy you is because of the influence you have when you show. That's why when Michael Jackson wear. You know, if my children wear Michael Jackson kind of trousers, my wife won't let them leave the house. Victory, that trouser, or those trousers are too short for you. Drop it, give it to Perez. No, mommy, but I like it. I said, go and remove it. It's too short. But Michael Jackson will wear that one on stage. The whole world. He touched me. He touched me. The whole world. So I made up my mind, in this my life, I must be important. People must copy me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They will copy your children too. Amen. Not only you, they will copy you. Say amen.
Amen.
And they will copy your children.
Amen.
I want to tell you, Christian women, look, let's sit down, design our own clothes. You understand? Cover our breasts properly. Cover our bum bum very well. And then we're smiling with glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Feeling very important. And you go to campus, all the campus girls will abandon the rubbish they are wearing. I'm going to wear what you are wearing. That is my, no, really, really. That is how it's supposed to be. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Why that other one to it? It's not which passport your children carry that matters. That's not what matters. It's not the passport they carry. It's whether they are blessed. And if they are blessed, passports will be begging them to come and carry them.
That is what matters. What did I say? That's what matters. You'll be influential in this, your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. And your children, we're talking about them, they also will be influential in this life in the name of Jesus. No matter through which path they came into the earth, physically speaking, as long as they become born in Zion, listen, the glory of God will be upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing we can give to our children. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's important we are learning how to pray. That's what we are doing. How? Let's just give the Lord thanks for this word. Say, Father, we thank you. 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 Just give him thanks. Let's just give him thanks for it. Let's just give him thanks for it. Let's just rise to our feet quickly. I just want to declare some things and then we are out of here. Everybody just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. I have been washed by the power of the blood. I have been dipped in that fountain. Say, I have been dipped in that fountain of his blood. All my sins are washed away. Say, like you believe it, all my sins are washed away. I have been made new in Christ Jesus. I have been made righteous by his blood. Therefore, I'm righteous before God. Say, my seed, therefore, my children, therefore, they will be mighty on this earth because they are the children of the righteous. Say, they will be mighty on this earth because they are the children of the righteous. Say, the son of perdition will not be born in my home. Say it again, the son of perdition will not be born in my home. Every child born to me, boy or girl, will serve the Lord. They will know the truth. They will know the gospel. They will be born in Zion. In the name of Jesus. Say, children of perdition will not come into my home. They will not come into this earth through me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, my seed will be mighty in righteousness. My seed will be mighty in faith. My seed will be mighty in holiness. In the name of Jesus. My seed will be mighty on this earth. They will bless their generations. They will be blessed. There will be blessings to their generations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say like you believe it, no matter where they are given birth to, they will still be born in Zion. And that's what will make the difference in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again, no matter where they are born naturally, I prophesy upon them that citizenship of Zion is their portion. Therefore, God will know them. And he will specially mark them. And they will be mighty on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it, according to the word of the Lord, I will not bring any one of them forth for calamity. Say, calamity is not their portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. When I'm not watching them, say it, when I'm not watching them, the angels of God, they are watching them. They will deliver them from all troubles. In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we said something last time that Isaac said to Esau, I have already sustained your brother. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. You know, I heard Derek Prince. Derek Prince said that there is a difference between bread and oil. It was explaining something. When the Bible says that, we're talking about a calamity on the earth, that 1 pound of wheat for something very expensive, he said, but do not touch the oil and the wine. He said, what does that mean? It means that the oil and the wine refers to luxury. So you see, bread is basic necessity. Grain, that's basic necessity. But wine is luxury. So Isaac said to Esau, I have sustained Jacob with grain and with new wine. That is, you have every necessity in life supplied, and you have abundance for every good work. It will have luxury. It will have everything. That's what he was saying. Therefore, say concerning your children, say, in the name of Jesus, I declare concerning my children, all their needs are supplied.
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 Say, I sustain them with grain.
I sustain them with grain.
Right now.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I sustain you with grain.
I sustain you with grain.
You're speaking to your children. Remember, they don't need your money. That's not what they need. He said, the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. What does that mean? Every divine resources is available for them. Whether they are poor or rich, they have this mouth, they have the blessing of God, the promises of God. The blessing of God is in the mouth of covenant parents. Whether they are poor or rich, he said, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. When you pour these words into these children, that's what they really need. Therefore, sustain them again. Say
in the name of Jesus.
You will have abundance of grain. And you have abundance of new wine. Remember, new wine refers to luxury. When I heard that from the Red Prince, I shook. He said, do not harm the oil and the wine. See, that was referring to luxury. And Isaac said concerning Jacob, you will have the basic necessities, you will have the luxuries of life. That anything that you want. Oh, let's get practical. Say to your children, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
you will not lack breakfast.
You will not lack breakfast.
You will not lack lunch.
You will not lack lunch.
You will not lack supper.
You will not lack supper.
You will not lack water to drink.
You will not lack water.
You will not lack where to put your head.
You will not lack where to put your head.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
You will have clothes to keep you warm.
You will have clothes to keep you warm.
That is great. Let's talk about new wine. Say to your children, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You will have all the cars you need.
You will have all the cars you need.
You will fly private jets.
You will fly private jets.
You will have villas everywhere.
You will have villas everywhere.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, you will be a blessing.
You will be a blessing.
You will give out to people.
You will give out to people.
You will not only have what you need,
you will not only have what you need,
but you will also have that with which you will bless other people.
You will also have that with which you will bless.
Say,
other people.
I sustain you with grain.
I sustain you with grain.
I sustain you with new wine.
I sustain you with new wine.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say to them, when you travel, you will be safe.
When you travel, you will be safe.
Your angel will be with you all the time.
So
Jesus said that the angels are beholding the face of God every time. They are hearing God's commandments and infecting them in the lives of those children. Say to those children, you will not stray away from righteousness.
You will not stray away from righteousness.
I command in the name of Jesus.
I command in the name of Jesus.
The spirit of this world,
the spirit of this world
will not get you.
Will not get you.
Will not get you.
Will not get you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare sexual purity for you.
I declare sexual purity for you.
The sexual promiscuity in this age,
the sexual promiscuity,
it will not catch you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Very important. Everything. Say, as you travel, you will be safe.
You will be safe.
Nobody will kill you.
Nobody will kill you.
No, the other day some children went, they lynched them. Is it a low 4 or low 5, whatever they call them? It won't happen to your children in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will be delivered from all troubles in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anywhere they go, they will be delivered from troubles in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say it again, no evil will befall them.
No
plague will come near their dwelling.
No near
in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Please, our time has really gone. Just one more prayer point. Everyone just put up your right hand right now. I just want to say a word of prayer. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I command that plague of Ebola to turn back from this country in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not be established in Nigeria.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father God, you have mercy upon this land according to our words.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We rebuke that plague,
amen.
You foul spirit of Ebola virus.
Amen.
Back to where you came from.
Amen.
Back to where you came from.
Amen.
Back to where you came from.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's just thank the Lord because he has been so good. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.